A young teenage boy came to his pastor, and he said to him, "I did something terrible. I ran away from home. I did something that when my father finds out, he's going to be very, very angry. What should I do?" His pastor thought for a moment, and he said to him, "I believe you ought to go back home. Confess your sin to your father. Tell him what you've done. I'm sure he will accept you as a prodigal." And the boy left, and a few days later, he came to the pastor again. He said to the pastor, "Well, I went home. I told my father just what I had done." And the pastor said to him, "And did he kill the fatted calf?" And the young man said, "No, he almost killed the prodigal son, though." You see, in our text today, we try to examine something that we believe God's trying to tell us. And many times we come out with the idea that he's trying to tell us to be good parents. Many times we come out with the idea that he's trying to tell us we need to take care of our money. We come out with the idea that he's trying to tell us that Christ is a good shepherd and we should be good shepherds too. But that's not what Jesus is trying to say at all. What Jesus is doing, he is trying to answer that age-old question that has been asked throughout the annals of history. He's trying to tell us something about what God's like. Now you might say today, "I don't know what God's like." That's your fault. No, don't be mad at me now. If you don't know what God's like, then you don't know God so good. Because I remember the disciples said to Jesus one day, all excited, said, "Show us God. Show us something about God. Tell us about it." And Jesus said, "Have you been with me so long, and you still don't know the Heavenly Father? For if you see me, you see God." How long have we been Christians? Some of us probably 30 years. Maybe some of us 50. Maybe some just a few. But in that time, what have we learned about God? And this is what this parable is trying to tell us. Something about death. And the first thing that I believe that Jesus is trying to tell us about death is that he is a God who loves us so much that he is willing to let us go. Now wait a minute, hear me out before you become judgmental. You see, there was three things. There was a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. But oh, they're so different. You see, the lost sheep had a shepherd looking for him. The coin had a woman with a broom sweeping to find it. You see, they had no responsibility at all. But the son did. The son had the responsibility to decide for himself. Yes, my friend, what is God like? Jesus said that God is a heavenly Father that's willing to let us go, that's willing to let you make your choices. And you know, this is quite something. It's quite remarkable when we think about it. We see it in some respects today. I did in my family. I'm not going to stand up here and you look and say, "Oh, he's a preacher." I want to tell you, I had a hard time with some of my children. In fact, if you know, if I was a Christian, I'd probably kill them like a prodigal. But thanks through God's grace, we've come through it. But here was a young, reckless man that goes to his dad and says something in essence to this. "Now look, old man, I'm getting plumb tired of working on this farm and living out here. I want to see what it's like in town. I want something different for my life. And I want to tell you something else, old man. I don't want to wait till you die to enjoy life. I want to enjoy it now. And so I'll tell you what I want. I want you to give me my portion of the inheritance so I can get out of this joint." Now you and I know that this Jewish boy did not talk to his father like that. Or I tell you that punishment would have come swift. But we need to remember this. There was a great surprise. This father thought for a moment.
Listen to what he said. I paraphrase. All right, son.
That's what you really want. That's what you're going to get. And so the Bible said that he divided unto him his inheritance. You see, this father loved his son enough to let him go. He loved him enough to believe that when he let him go, his son somewhere down the line would re-examine his life and see that what he had at home was a paradox. You know, that's the way it is, ain't it, folks? Man, I want to tell you, I told my mom, now look, you don't have, I said it in anger too. You don't have to sign no papers for me to go to the United States Navy because it won't be long. I'll soon be 18 and I don't need your signature and I'm gone. And I'll tell you what, the day I was 18, brother, I was gone. In Springfield, Illinois. And I want to tell you, I heard it, I never forgot it. Oh, I'm glad I went, glad I served. But I remember in Chicago, Illinois, this man looking at us, and he was quiet for a moment. And he said these words to us, "This is your last chance. If you want to back out, now is the last chance you got. It's your decision, and brother, I made it." Home? No way, Jack. Navy. But it only took about 30 days, brother. And I couldn't wait for 4 years to end to get home. I want to tell you, home becomes something special when you leave it. We begin to remember what it was like, and we had, if you'll excuse me, the goose on the golden platter and didn't know it. That's what this young man had. And I can almost feel today the hurt in the heart of his father as he said to him, "I'm leaving home." And his father knew this. It had to be his decision. He had to decide for himself, and we all do what we want out of life. But there's one thing I want to say today, my friend. When it comes down to the end of this life, the destiny that you will enter into, you will enter into it because it's the very choice that you have made. If you go to hell, you go there because you choose to go there. And if you go to heaven, you'll go because you choose to go there. But my friend, the decision is up to us. We must make the choice. You see, God has created us, the Bible said, in His image and His likeness. But one thing God did not do. He did not create anyone to be robots, to be moved in any direction by the hand of God against our will. And there's one thing that I know today, my friend, that I'm going to heaven. I know it beyond the shadow of any doubt. And I'm going there because one day Howard Eugene Wise Sr. decided to accept God. And it did. And that decision is left up to every one of us. You see, God has given us an inheritance. And this inheritance comes in many forms. He has given us minds that cannot even be explained yet today. And my friend, we can either use them or we can waste them. He has given us beautiful, marvelous bodies with all the needs of life. And we can do what we can to keep them healthy, or we can do what we can to destroy them. He has given us the thing of time, and He has given us life. And not only that, He has given us precious relationships, and we can make the best of them, or we can throw them out the window, so to speak. But you see, the choices belong to you and me. They're my decisions. They're your decisions. To know this, there's a consequence with our decision. Yeah, we have to live with them. Yes, you do. We can decide to do what anything we want. But we have to live with the consequences of the choices we make. Robert Raines tells a story of one day walking down the road with his son. And he said all at once, his son stopped along the road. He said, "Dad." His father said, "What, son?" He said, "Do you believe that anywhere in the world there's a sign that says, trespassing?" His father was kind of stern. He said, "What do you mean, son?" He said, "Well, over there's a sign that says, no trespassing. Do you believe there's a sign anywhere in the world that says, trespassing?" And he said, "I sat down with the boy just for a little bit." He said, we kind of just talked and we just kind of laughed. He said, "Son, would it be something if one night when it got dark, you and I took a paint can, we sprayed over the knoll, made the knoll trespassing. Wouldn't it be something if we went and we sprayed over the word stop on the sand on the corner and put go there? Wouldn't it be something if we scribbled out all those things that caution danger and wrote below it safe? Wouldn't it be something if it said no trespassing, keep out, if we changed that to public, come on in?" Now listen, friend, I know if you're listening, and you better be, you better listen good. I'm just kidding here. Don't you go do that. He was trying to bring across the point. And I say today, my friend, that through this world there are many signs like that. Signs that say go, and signs that say yes, and signs that say freedom. And you and I have to read them. You see, there's a sign that says we're free to love one another. There are signs that says we are free to be successful if we'll just make an effort to be. There are signs all the way that tells us to go for joy and peace and happiness and contentment and comfort. All over the world they're saying to us, go. But remember this. There are other signs too. There are signs that says danger along life's way. And they are signs that can kill us. It can bring forth these signs, my friend, physical death and spiritual death. It can bring forth the death of a wonderful friendship or a wonderful family relationship. And these signs are along the way. But you know what? When you come to the sand to make a decision, it is you and it is me that must make the decision in which way to go. Amen. And we will make decisions. Some of them will be good. And some of them will be bad, but how many bad decisions in life we make. Oh yeah, I'll tell you what. A man said to me, "Howard, if you will just go with us aboard this ship for 3 months, I'll put another stripe on your sleeve." Now, brother, he just wasted his breath. Because I wasn't even concerned about the ones I had. You know what I was concerned about? I'll tell you how important the foolish things become when you then leave it all and you make the wrong decision. I couldn't wait to get home. Now, don't laugh. This is the God's truth. I couldn't wait to get home so I could go down Toby Creek across from Smiley's house. There was a big hill there, and I used to lay there like this. And the old sun would come down as I lay there as a young boy. Boy, I couldn't get me home to get home to do that. Boy, I remember getting home, but as of today, I've never laid on the hill. You see, it wasn't that aspect of life. I just wanted to get home. And oh, what a decision. You gotta make them, and they can be good, or they can be bad. Jesus is trying to tell us that we have a Heavenly Father, my friend, that's willing to let us go, that we might make some decisions. But He's also saying to us that the Heavenly Heavenly Father is a patient Father.
Please, for you and I to decide.
If you are here today and you are lost, do you know you can thank God that you're not in hell? You can thank God that God is so patient that He's waiting for you who are lost to make a decision to come to God. Preacher, I'm not going to death out of it. It's the most important decision you ever make in your life. And you see there the Heavenly Father. The Bible said that He's long-suffering. He's patient. God is patient. But why is God patient?
The Bible says that He's willing that none should perish,
but that all come to repentance. The only reason that Jesus hasn't came today is if you're sitting here lost, He's waiting for you to decide to go to heaven. Amen. That can almost shout. That's the good God. You wouldn't wait like that on your own children. But God does. A God who's patient and waiting for us to decide. This young man had to make a decision, either for or against God. Whatever he decided, he would have to live patiently. But listen about this father. You see, the Bible said that when this boy was a long way off, the
father saw him coming. You know what? I kind of believe in my own personal feeling that every day, this loving, patiently waiting Father
would go out and I believe He would look toward the direction that His son had went off into. I believe He had enough faith that His son would decide that home was the place to be in. Father was the one I loved.
And lo and behold, one day as he waited, and I imagine his heart pondered the thought of his son going off.
Lo and behold, away over the way, over one of the hills on the far, a little spot appeared. Maybe he thought at first it was one of the cows that was astray. Maybe he thought it was a sheep coming to the farm. I don't know. But before very long, as he walked and yearned, he realized what it was. It was his son coming home. Oh, the Bible said that he ran. Oh, I can almost see him. If he's like me, I don't want to feel like I'm having a heart attack. But he ran. He wasn't concerned about dying or heart attack. He was concerned about showing his son that he loved him. And the Bible said he fell upon his neck and he kissed him. Woo, what a joy of our Heavenly Father that's waiting for us to make a decision and loves us so much. He doesn't just wait for us to come to Him. He comes to us that He might show His great love toward us. Yes, there's a consequence to making choice. I want you to hear Him. You see, there's something about us. God won't make us behave. No, if we behave, it's because we want to behave.
God will never force Himself upon us.
He'll not interfere with our lives.
In fact, the Word of God says choose.
But choose you this day whom you will serve. Because I set before you life and death. And if you die without God, it'll be your decision. And if you choose life to live for God, that will be your decision too. But I, God, who loves you, and I wait patiently for you to decide, will not force you to love me. Did you know that?
If you didn't know that today, if you're lost, you're lost because God don't force you to love Him. But shame on you if you don't.
Because you make the decision to die without God. But listen what it says. One day sitting in this pig pen of And then he came to himself. Oh, today. If you're sitting in this congregation and you're lost, oh, I pray you come to yourself. What do you mean he came to himself? He stood holding that husk and pretty soon he remembers, oh, the very place he left. And he looks at that husk and he says something like, possibly, I'm not kidding. I'm a boy. I'm not an old hog. I'm somebody's son. Oh. Oh, how wonderful that is to know today that I'm somebody's son. Not only my parents' son, but my heavenly father's son. And he begins to look toward home. Look, my friend, if today you are tempted, or maybe you are yet wallowing in the hog skies of the world, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's your family breaking to pieces, maybe it's court because you broke the law. But listen to me today, speaking for God, whatever hog sty you're in today, come to yourself and go home. Come to God. That's where you belong. And God, the Heavenly Father, is waiting for you to make that decision today. Yes, my friend, lastly, Jesus showed us a Heavenly Father who welcomed us back unconditionally. Let's say that together. Unconditionally. One more time. Unconditionally. Whatever we've done, however wrong that has been, if we have degraded ourselves to say, I'm not worthy to come back again. I'm going to tell you something. You're on the right track. You're coming to yourself because you're not worthy of God. None of us are. We're not worthy to be treated like this young son was treated when he went home. But he was treated as such because his father loved him. And I think to us today, that wherever you are right now, wherever your life lies, whatever decisions we have to make, God will forgive us unconditionally. Won't cost you a dime. You won't have to wonder what the other folks are saying. The important thing is, how does God feel about it? We know how the Father felt about it. He stood waiting all the way home. I can almost see him. I've been down the road. All the way home, he begins to think. Oh, when I get them to me. Oh, I'm going to throw my arms around him and love him. Oh, I'm going to beg him to forgive me. I'm going to cry out, Dad, I love you. Dad, I love you. I love you. I'm going to let him know I'm so sorry for the way I treated him. All the way home, these things run through his mind. And as he began to see his father running, the Bible said, he fell down at his feet. And he began to apologize. But his father didn't even check. All this planning and thinking that he did all the way home was of no avail. Because for he could tell whatever he felt, his father showed him, I love you. Unconditionally, I still love you. Have you ever failed God? Sure you have. I have. God still loves you. Have you ever, when God dealt with your life, said no to God?
But when you repented of it and come back, He was still waiting, loving you.
You see, this is the kind of God that Jesus is telling us about. What is God's life? This is what God's like. He loves us so much, He's willing to let us go. He loves us so much that when He lets us go, He waits patiently for our decision. And then when we finally decide, He still loves us.
My, what a God we've got.
Listen what happened to this son who said, I'm not worthy. My dad owes me nothing. I took all that was mine. I wasted on riotous living.
Oh, his daddy said to the servant, you go get the best robe in this place.
You bring that robe and put it on my son. You see, a robe showed honor. And here was the father wanting to honor his son. He said to him, go and get a ring and put on his finger. You see, the ring showed authority. And he wanted his son to know that regardless of what he had done, he still had some authority as far as he was concerned. And he said to him, go get some sandals, some shoes, and put them on his feet. You see, this boy had whole pigs, and he was ready to eat the husk of them pigs. He said, in my father's house, my servants, his servants have it better than I've had it.
Well, I want to tell you, my friend, in those days, if you read, servants did not worship.
He was going to make sure that his son knew that he wasn't his servant. He was still his son. I say to us, my friend, that when we come to God, God wants us to know that we may have failed and did wrong and made the wrong decision, but we're still His sons and daughters. Amen.
A young boy did his teams. He loved to play golf. He wasn't very good, but he loved to play golf, and he would stand out in the backyard and his practice swing. He had a little practice ball with little plastic and the hole drawn in it that wouldn't go far. And for hours he stood out and he practiced his swing.
And one day he thought that his parents had both left, and oh, he begins to get that urge to just feel a real golf ball again, the head of that driving iron. And so he sneaks in the shed and he gets a golf ball. And oh, he tees it up in the backyard. And he sets.
When he gets ready, he gives it the old Johnny Carson swing. Lo and behold, don't you know, he slices the side of the ball. And the ball begins to head to the bedroom window of his parents.
And all at once he hears crash. But more, he hears a scream and a cry. And he realized that his mother was home and something had happened. And he runs to the house and he runs upstairs. And when he throws open the door, he sees his mother with blood running down her face from where the broken glass had hit her. And he ran over and he knelt down and he began to cry and said, oh, Mom. Oh, what have I done? I could have killed you. Oh, what have I done? I could have killed you. And she reached down and picked him up and put her arms around him and kissed him on his cheek and said to him, son, everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.
You see, Mama knew this was not a time for punishment, but this was a time of forgiveness.
And rest assured, he never hit a real golf ball again in that backyard. I want to ask you and I today, my friend, has God forgiven you?
Are you still on a road trying to find some place to go and you're heading in the wrong direction? Are you still a sinner without God and you think you're okay regardless of what the preacher says the Bible says? If Jesus comes today, are you going to heaven or hell? You see, as you sit here today, every one of you, you've got to make a decision. Some kind of decision you're going to make in this service. I pray it'll be the right decision. I pray that if you're a sinner today, you'll come. I'm not coming up there. No, we're too bashful to come up here sometime. But we're not too afraid to go to heaven. These people laugh at me. I'll tell you what. You come forward, they laugh at you. I'll get me well prepared to be with them out of church no longer. You see, it's God who's patiently waiting. And the Bible says in Revelation, and the church says come. And the Spirit says come. And He says come. The day that Sister Melba, Sister Sandy come to play the instruments of music to praise God and invite us, Brother Lynn come to raise our voices to God today. What decisions have you made? Yes. I close by saying today that earthly fathers may have a desire to kill you like the prodigal of the young boy. But the Heavenly Father, He waits just for you today. He's waiting just for you. Would you come?